Hell yeah. Look at that. Oh, shit. You ready for mine?
Boom. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Look, I don't have much time, so I'm going to do a quick introduction and we can get into it.
Let's go.
I want you to know how fucking excited I am to finally be able to talk to you.
Thanks, Brett. This is rad, man. Let's do this.
All right. Welcome to this week's edition of the Rock and Roll Ghost Podcast. This week, I am overjoyed to have actor, writer, filmmaker, all around bon vivant, I suppose.
Ice cream man, fisherman, juggler, trapeze artist.
David Desmalshin.
Painter of models.
Oh, nice. Look at that. Everything looks really cool there. You got a cool place.
Thanks, man. This is my office. My wife got me this rad spinner rack because my I've got a great collection of classic horror comics and magazines. I'm a big Famous Monsters guy and all the creepy and eerie stuff. And look, there's Count Crowley on there. Nice. But I keep most of them in long boxes, very well organized and bagged and boarded. And she was like, these comics are so beautiful. Why aren't you displaying them? And I'm like, I don't know how. And then she got me the spinner rack and I'm like, oh, it's so cool. I can just, when I'm sitting here working and reading and writing and ever need inspiration, I can just take a little spin. And I try to change the comics out on it every few months because I've got so many good vintage EC comics, you know?
Yeah, you could. I mean, I'm sure you've got so many that even just trying to frame them and put them around your house would just be ridiculous.
You know what we did, though? And she's the best. My wife is so cool. But I have been collecting since my childhood, vintage Halloween records, like sound effects records.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and she has, over the years, as I continue to grow my collection, framed these, and then there's a hallway in our house where dozens of my best vintage Halloween records are displayed, and it is super cool. I love it. Every time I walk down, there was a moment where my kids, some of the art is a little freaky, so we had to like pull some of them down. But I mean, I've got, you name it, I've got some really good ones.
Do you have that Disney one?
Of course, the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I had that as a kid, and I like right around Halloween, I was like, you know what? The original's long gone. My brother, it passed on to my brother, and my brother ruined it.
Of course, so brothers. Like,
but I bought another one off of eBay, and I was like, I have a record player, I don't have it hooked up, but I just really wanted to have it.
Yes. I listen to them throughout the year, obviously, but I have them all organized in like an accordion kind of situation where it's nice that my kids and I, because the artwork you want framed so that my kids and I, we can look at them, but then the actual records are in this, like, you know, it's a record like you would have if you're an old time DJ or something,
right.
And they're all, of course, because it's me and I'm meticulous with this shit. It's like alphabetized, and I've got the list of like who published it and who's recording on it. And so we could pull them out downstairs in the record player.
Yeah. Oh, man. I tell you, I could probably talk to you like for an hour or two just on this stuff.
Well, I appreciate your backdrop there. Thank you for all of the Count Crowley love. I'm super, as you can see, I've got Count Crowley right here on my spinner rack, but
I haven't read the second one, but I loved the first one. So
thanks, man. Volume two is out now. So everybody who's a fan of your show can go out and get volume two at your, please visit your local comic shop. If you do have one near you, we've got to support brick and mortar comic shops, especially in the wake of the pandemic, and keep these shops going. Cause they're more important than we realize. I think having a place where you can go and meet other fellow comic collectors and gamers and, you know, nerds, they're just so important. So yeah, please go get volume two if you haven't gotten to check it out yet. I'm so proud of the artwork that Lucas Kettner continues to do in the colors that Lauren Aff does. And I'm just overwhelmed, man. Every time I look at that book, it's all I ever dreamed. And Now I'm deep in the production of the next series of Count Crowley's. So nice. Just you wait. Shit is getting only crazier, bloodier, gorier, and more like the stakes keep getting higher every new issue.
Yeah, I guess it shouldn't, you know, for some reason, it shouldn't be a surprise that you're like a real big horror fan. I mean, you basically look like, you know, your pallor sometimes looks as if you're not from this world anymore, you know, but, and you love black, but, and you've done some very dark stuff, but you're actually a, as evidenced from like stuff in Ant-Man and Suicide Squad, pretty funny on screen too. Even though those are darker characters themselves.
I appreciate that. Thanks. There's power in humor and comedy, of course. And there's pathos in humor and comedy. And for anybody who reads Count Crowley, you'll see that, like, yes, Jerry is a tragic figure. She's a victim. She's a survivor. She's deeply in the throes of alcoholism, addiction, and depression, anxiety, which so many people I know and love struggle with. I myself am 20 years into my journey of recovery as an addict and alcoholic. And as we know, addiction and depression and anxiety don't always come in the shape of alcoholism or codependency. Like, there's so many ways that people suffer in this world. So that's a very serious, heavy thing, not to mention the fact that now she's having to figure out how to battle monsters, which is pretty fucking heavy. Werewolves, vampires, zombies, which we call billies or billitombias in this series. But she's got like this heart of gold, and she's so self-deprecating, and she's so funny. I think it makes her even more endearing, hopefully, to my readers, because I really work hard on trying to give her that bite in her voice that will make you laugh when somebody pisses her off and she says something like, "Gag me with a flamethrower," you know.
That's great. Yeah, no, I don't read graphic novels in my day or our day.
Yeah,
because we call them comics.
Yeah,
you know, but at some point we decided that we needed to take them a little more seriously around Frank Miller time, so we called them something else. And
yeah, exactly.
Now you look like an ass if you call them comics. But I don't read very often, but I was like, I gotta read this, guys, because I look, to be honest, you have been engraved in my head since The Dark Knight. And I know you get this a lot, but my God, how you managed to stand out in that film with all of those people and all of those things going on, I think it is just shows, you know, how exceptional you are right away. Your scenes in that movie are, I mean, you gave it. You know,
thank
really
you, Brett. Thank you, man. Thank you. I mean, for anybody, you know, checking out your podcast who's not familiar with my story, I am originally from Kansas City. I grew up reading comics and loving cinema. And I went to Chicago to study theater and learn about how to be an actor. And sadly, I was struggling deeply with addiction issues and mental health issues. And I nearly lost my life in, you know, the early 2000s. And it took about 5 years of work for me just doing the day-to-day, working a job that I didn't really love and going to meetings and going to therapy and figuring out how to, you know, not want to leave this world and how to stay here and find my way. And I never thought I'd get to act again. And then by a miracle, grace of God, whatever you choose to believe, I had the chance to get back on stage again, which led to me getting to audition for some commercials, which led to me getting to audition for this, one of the greatest films ever made. Yeah. And it was this like alignment of all the stars. When you think about how crazy it is that, like, here I am, lifetime comic collector, lifetime fan of the Joker. By the way, I mean, I have tons of favorite villains. DC has always been my favorite home for villains in the world of
I can understand
pantheon.
That. I definitely think that DC, I love both, but I think DC has the better villains.
I agree. And Joker is the Clown Prince. I mean, he's the Clown King, if you ask me, the king of villains. And he is terrifying and amazing and captivating and endlessly entertaining. And so here I was getting to play somebody credited as the Joker's thug. And I'm standing there on set like, holy shit, this is really happening. This is a moment. This is an opportunity that is like really more crazy than even winning the lottery, I think. It's like one in a billion. And I didn't take one second of it for granted. And I was so lucky that I had a lifetime of reading the comics so it could really inform the character I wanted to bring to life. And there I was with one of the greatest filmmakers of all time, helping to coach and guide me through this performance, surrounded by these legendary actors. It's like, it's crazy. It changed my life. It has never stopped having an impact on my life. And when I'm an old man, I'll always look back and be proud of the fact that I can say I was a part of that vision, you know?
Yeah, it truly is. I don't have that happen very often when, you know, somebody that has what essentially is typically called a bit part sticks in my head like that. But
you know, you've heard the cliche, right? Because like I went to theater school, I did community theater. You always heard people like if you got cast in like the tiny role and the director would say, there's no small parts.
Right.
That's actually not bullshit. It's not like something you just say when you're a parent and your kid strikes out and you go, oh, well, at least you went to bat. You know, it's like, which is true, by the way. Every role matters.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then the writing wasn't good. Or if it doesn't, then the people making it didn't care. But every single person that comes onto that screen has a purpose. Now, does that mean that that person needs to like be big and crazy? No. Even if you're just delivering some quick bad news to the hero of the story, or even if you're just interacting with them briefly in some point of conflict, like to me, it's such an honor just to be alive, considering what I've been through and how hard I've had to struggle to maintain my sobriety and sanity, that like to just get to even create a character that it's amazing. And I'm glad that it had such an impact on you, you know?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I definitely appreciate you. God, we're already running out of time. I really, really hope I get the chance to try to talk to you longer at some point. But I interviewed your collaborator and friend, Colin Shifley,
for
his last film. And, you know, he spoke obviously highly of you. And I got to say, talked to him, I finally watched Animals and All Creatures Here Below, and brother, I mean, those are amazing films,
dude.
I mean, truly,
thank you so much. I have this deep love in my heart for, you know, this very personal stories, making them with basically no money and friends who become family. Like Colin, you know, we've made two films together, hopefully many more, getting to work with actors like, you know, Kim Shaw in Animals and Karen Gillan in All Creatures Here Below. And then the whole host of other actors who showed up to help support us, from John Doe to John Hoganacker, from David Koechner. I mean, across the board, there's so many great performances in those films. But I have big questions about this life that I wrestle with and I think about a lot. And I think sometimes, not always, but sometimes cinema can be a really interesting place to pose those questions and tell stories that are meaningful. And hopefully, even if they're not up always like fun, that there is a form of entertainment that is still worthwhile. Even if like watching a movie like Animals, which is pretty tough to watch, or a movie like All Creatures Here Below, I don't want it to ever feel like misery porn or suffering porn. I want you to see humanity, and I want people to feel less alone in this world. And that's why I do what I do. So thanks for watching those.
No, I own both of those. And I also bought the film that I interviewed Colin about as well on video. So neither one is easy to watch necessarily, but they're so well made. And I think what you and Kim did in Animals really was probably among the best examples of showing how addiction actually hits people in reality. And plus, you know, I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm from Chicago too. So,
cool. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So yeah, I know that you went to the Paul and you did the Shattered Glass and all that. You spent a lot of time here. Obviously, yes. Dark Knight was filmed here.
Yep. And I'm still very tight with Chicago. I still go back. The theater company is actually, it's called Shattered Globe. And I'm trying to get I wrote a play that I want to do. No, that's okay. They're amazing though. So anybody who is in Chicago or ever gets to Chicago, go see a show from Shattered Globe. I'm trying to do a play with the company, but also Sven Gulli is, you know, one of my close friends and is somebody who I always send my Count Crowley.
That's very old school for us.
Yep. WGN, they're all friends of mine. Every time I'm in town, I go on the morning news and I love going to Graham Crackers. I love.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Such a great, great town, man. I love Art of Pizza.
I've never been there.
Oh, really? Oh, no, dude, it's the best.
I mean, there's so much pizza.
I know, but Art of Pizza is a special place. You got to try it sometime if you're ever in. I think it's in, like, I guess it would be called Lincoln Park. It's like Ashland and Belmont.
Yeah. I've been to the Red Hots, which is the hamburger stand
nearby,
but I've never been to Art of Pizza.
I used to go to a grocery store across the street from there, and then one time I used to live somewhere and I didn't have a vehicle at one point. I would just walk around. And they had this lunch special where you get like a slice of pizza and a Coke for $2.75 or something. This is back in 2005. And I tasted that pizza and I died. I was like, dude, oh my God. And I just started eating every day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, but hey, on a struggling youngster's budget. Sure. I get that.
The Chicago pizza connection, man.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I'm really running out of time. God, I really, truly, if there's any way we can end up talking again, that would be
okay,
great.
Man. Let me know. Of course.
I want to mention too, we talked about Count Crowley, but you're also in 21st Century's Boston Strangler, which is on Hulu right now. You know, you play the alleged killer, although he was never convicted and he's been dead a long time, Albert Salvo.
Yeah.
What was that process like?
It was dark. I'll say that. It was hard because I think that bringing to life someone who actually lived, a real person historically, is always a lot of responsibility because you need to honor the authenticity of that person, whether people look favorably or not on that person. It's still really important to bring that person, you know, you're basically bringing a version of them to life to tell a story. So you got to, I think it's important to take that pretty seriously. Now, when you add in the fact that this was a person who inflicted immeasurable amounts of pain, suffering, damage upon these women who he victimized and murdered and abused, it's hard because there's so many different ways to approach something like this. And you could go for, and I knew that the director was looking for a much more grounded, kind of authentic, intimate storytelling style. Which, by the way, if you guys haven't seen the film yet, it's a fantastic film, but it doesn't focus on the killer. It focuses on the people trying to help catch this killer and trying to help protect the women of Boston, these reporters who know
Knightley and Carrie Coon.
Yes. Oh my God. What a frustrating ass story.
And Carrie Coon, another Chicagoan too.
She's a genius, man. She's such a powerhouse of an actor. I love her so much. And she's such a kick-ass person. So I did a lot of listening to audio that I could find of Albert. I did a lot of reading about firsthand accounts of people who knew Albert, what Albert was like. I did a lot of trying to, I wouldn't say get inside the mind of Albert DeSalvo, but definitely find some way that I could be a human being, not just a caricature, not just a monster, who yet would do these monstrous things. And it was tricky. It was slippery. It was scary. And he's in just a very small little fraction of this film. So the moments that you do see Albert are, it was really important for me as well to make sure that they are really grounded and that the audience can be sufficiently like perplexed and unsettled and terrified and maybe even like confused about this guy. Like, that's a human being sitting there. That's not a Sith Lord. It is not a, you know, it's not Kang the Conqueror. This is a guy who, just like any of us, was born and lived in this country. Now, he had terrible experiences as a child. That's different than a lot of us. And he also had mental illness issues that are different than most of us. And he had circumstantial issues that are different than most of us, but he's still like just another guy on the street in a city. And the fact that he could do this to people, terrifying, terrifying.
Well, I unfortunately, that's all the time I have.
Dude, that was so great catching up, talking to you. Let's do it again at some point. Thank you.
I really would like to, because I think I've got this whole list here that I could talk to you about. Everything. Great. But just as a reminder, Count Crawley, Volume 1 and 2 are available now. Go to your local store. Boston Strangler is on Hulu to watch. You've got the Stephen King adaptation, the Boogeyman that you're in coming up. You're starring in Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer this summer. And then you've got the Dracula side story, Last Voyage of the Demeter, which sounds awesome. So, David, thank you very much. I really
rock and roll,
man.
Keep rocking and rolling. All right.
All right. You take care.
Bye, Brett. Thanks, man. Bye.